I'd like to welcome you to our worship service this morning. Our call to worship is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. Now I make known to you, brothers and sisters, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold firmly to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed down to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. In the series that we've been doing in Mark chapter 15, we've seen when Jesus died, there was a reaction in secular culture. They beat him. They punched him in the face. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They nailed him to a cross. They mocked him. They ignored him as they just passed by the cross that day. But when Jesus died, we saw that God was acting. God was still at work, God the Father. We saw that darkness fell on the face of the earth. Jesus, who became sin for us, was forsaken by the Father. The veil in the temple was torn, allowing us to enter in the presence of God as his children. And we saw that a soldier was saved. Today, in the verses we'll read, we'll see that there were those who believed, those who followed, served, and supported the Savior, and those who honored Jesus when he died. Our scripture is Mark 15, verses 40 through 47. Now there were also some women watching from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they used to follow him and serve him. And there were many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had already come, since it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council, who was himself also waiting for the kingdom of God. And he gathered up courage, and he went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Now Pilate wondered if he was dead by this time and summoned the centurion. He questioned him as to whether he was already dead. And after he learned this from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Joseph bought a linen cloth, took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb which had been cut out in the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were watching to see where he was laid. Our passage this morning begins and ends with the women who were with Jesus as he was being crucified. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, and Salome. Mary Magdalene was the first one who was mentioned, and I'd like to give some context to this in Luke 8, verses 1 through 3. Soon afterward, Jesus began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sickness. Mary, who is called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuaza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. Mary was one of Jesus' most faithful followers. While others abandoned Jesus, Mary was one of the women who followed Jesus all the way to the cross. Mary had been possessed, the Bible tells us, by 7 demons. She had been miraculously delivered by Jesus himself. Sickness could have also been a part of that possession. What a devotion she must have had for the one who had set her free from these demons. Church historians tell us that Mary was devoted to Jesus in many other ways. Mary, the mother of James the Less and Joseph, was also there. She quietly served and supported the Lord. One of her sons became a disciple of Jesus. Salome was the last one here mentioned. There were 2 Salomes mentioned in the Bible. The first Salome that was mentioned was the one who danced before King Herod for the head of John the Baptist. Isn't it interesting that Salome means peace? The Salome that we have here mentioned fulfilled the promise of that name as she stood there at the foot of the cross of Jesus as Jesus died for our sin. There were 2 important components here mentioned concerning the relationship they had with Jesus. First of all, these women followed Jesus. They were disciples of Christ. This morning, can you say that you are a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, we follow Jesus when we believe the historical accounts of Jesus in the 4 Gospels. These were written as history, factual accounts of what actually happened. We believe in the witness of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We follow Jesus when we believe in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, put forth to us by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We follow Jesus when we put our complete trust in him for our forgiveness, our cleansing, and our eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We follow Jesus when we seek to imitate him in his convictions and in his character. Paul the Apostle said, "Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ." It's a tall order, and we do that to the best of our ability. For a long time, well, the beginning of the summer, I bought a quart of white paint because the sign out front, the cross beam and the post needed a new paint job. And so I scraped it and painted it. Recently, I've started to look at the front doors of coming into the sanctuary of the church and realized that they needed painting. And I put it off and put it off. And so finally this week, when the weather warmed up again, I said, this is probably going to be my last chance to do that. So I painted them. And, you know, as I considered the job I did on the front doors, I thought, you know, those doors are an awful lot like my life. Because I missed a few spots. And the new paint wasn't an exact match to the old paint. So if you look from the road, it looks pretty good. But when you get up close, you can see the imperfections. And isn't that the way it is with our lives? The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's the way we are too. There's imperfections. And if you notice the job I did, there's a couple places where I still need to put on a little paint. It needs to be gone all over again. You know, but if we had the professional come and do the doors, they'd really look good, wouldn't they? There wouldn't be any paint on the cement. There wouldn't be any paint on the door frame on the bottom there. And that's what we're going to be like when we get to heaven, aren't we? You know, we'll be changed, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. And that'll be wonderful. We look forward to that day. And when we think of the 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years that we get to live here, 100 years, right? Chris's mom is over 100 years. We prayed for her. Even that's a very small period of time when we consider eternity. And we're going to be hit with Jesus forever in those perfect bodies for the glory of God. We follow Jesus when we're in communion with him. John wrote in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. The children were the ones that he had witnessed to and the ones that he had shared his faith with, and they had come to know him. They had come to know Jesus as their Savior. And he was their spiritual father. And he's saying, I'm so glad that I hear from other people that you're walking in the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the truth. And when we're walking in the truth, we're walking with the Lord. And we follow Jesus when we share our faith. Jesus said to the disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You'll share your faith, and people will come to know the Lord. There's all kinds of people out there today seeking to make disciples. You know, there's Democrats out there today that want to draw more people into the Democratic Party. There's Republicans out there wanting to make people come into their party. We as Christians should realize that the most important thing that we could ever do is to share our faith with someone who doesn't know the Savior. That's what God has called us to do. So they followed. These women followed Jesus. I am so thankful for the women in the churches that I've served. Those faithful followers of Jesus. But I've found too in my ministry, like in Jesus' ministry, they are also the ones who love to serve. They served Jesus. They were the diakonos, the deacons of the church. They served the Lord. I like the little poem. It goes on and on. I'm not going to do all of it for us again this morning. But everybody, anybody, somebody, and nobody, and someone else. Let me tell you the story of four young lads by the name of Tom, Dick, Harry, and Joe. Their full names, in fact, were as such. Tom, somebody, Dick, everybody, Harry, anybody, and Joe, nobody. Together, they were the best of friends. But I must confess, when it came to a task, they weren't very good. You see, whenever they were given a job, they all began to fight, because this is how it always went. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anyone could have done it, but in the end, nobody always ended up with the task. When nobody did it, somebody was angry because it was everybody's job. But everybody thought that somebody would do it instead. Now, nobody realized that nobody would do it. So consequently, everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done in the first place. It goes on and on. You can look it up online. But that's what so often happens. We all think somebody else is going to do the job that needs to be done. And then nobody does it. Men, I really don't want to say it, but if their first names had been Mary and Sarah and Martha and fill in the blank, the job probably would have gotten done. Someone said the most important ability is availability. Isn't that true? When you see a need, don't wait to be asked. Just go ahead and do it. If somebody else is involved in a project, don't be afraid to jump in and help. They might be drowning. Oh, I see somebody else is already doing that. Come alongside. Lend a hand. We have that saying in our culture today because of terrorism, see something, say something. This is more along the lines of see something, do something. You know, just go ahead and do it. You walk by the piano downstairs and see the layer of dust. Do something. You know, you see, my uncle was a trustee in his church. And he didn't think that the janitor was doing a good enough job, so he clipped his fingernails in church and left them on the carpet down below to see how long it would take for somebody to come along and clean it up. Now, that's kind of excessive, isn't it? We want to be the people that if they see something out in the parking lot, they're not waiting to see how long it's going to take for somebody to pick it up. You go out there and you walk by a can, especially if it's a beer can, you make sure you pick it up. There's a can of recyclables in the garage. You can put it there. See something, do something. We've been called to serve. Whenever God revealed himself to someone in a very personal way in the Bible, it was always because God was going to commission them to do something special. Think about Abraham. God revealed himself in a very special way to this man who would father a nation. Think about Moses, the burning bush, right? Take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground, Moses. You know, it wasn't for the rest of his life, Moses was going to go around saying, I had this special relationship with God. I saw him in a burning bush. He told his wife about it. He told his kids about it. He told his family about it. Sons, couple of kids. No, God was calling him to do something special, wasn't he? Called him to go to Egypt to set his people free and to bring them to the land, the promised land. You know, it wasn't just for self-fulfillment that Moses had that experience with God. He was commissioned to do something. Mary had a special relationship with God. And she bore God the Son, Jesus, into this world. Paul, on the road to Damascus, had an encounter with God. Ananias, when he came to give him back his sight, had a message from God to Paul. You're going to go in front of kings and emperors to share the gospel with them. These women followed Jesus. These women served Jesus. These women supported Jesus. The next believer is a little different from the women who followed Jesus. His name is Joseph, who was from Arimathea. Not Jesus' father. Jesus' father had died by this time. But Joseph was a secret believer. He was one of the most wealthy people in Judea at that time. He was a member of the ruling class, the ruling religious class, part of the Sanhedrin. In fact, our passage said that he was a prominent member of the council. Many churches today are like the official religion in Israel in Jesus' day. They've rejected the teaching of the Word of God. Their traditions have become more important than their relationship with the Lord. In Jesus' day, one of these groups was called the Sadducees. They were quite political. They didn't believe in the afterlife. They didn't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees were those who were prominent in the council. Joseph could have been a Sadducee. We might ask, why would a real born-again believer stay in a church or a denomination that does not believe in the authority of the Bible or in orthodox doctrine? The answer that many of these people would say is that God needs a witness. And indeed, that was the type of man Joseph was. At one time, Joseph argued against the crucifixion of Jesus. In Luke 23, verse 51, says he had not consented to their plan and action. Our scripture said that he was waiting for the kingdom of God. And now is a time for his action. He could remain silent no longer. He had been looking for the coming of the kingdom of God. You see, in the Old Testament, the true believers were looking for the first coming of Jesus. They were looking for him to come as Savior. In the New Testament, believers are looking forward to Jesus' second coming. He's coming again in the rapture. But there was something special about Joseph. While he was waiting for the coming kingdom, he purchased a tomb. Isn't it interesting? He prepared for the future. And I believe today that if we are prepared for death, we are prepared for the rapture. If we are prepared for the rapture, we are prepared for death. Either way, we're going to be with the Lord. The Bible says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, those who have died, but that we would be caught up with the Lord in the air. It says, so shall we ever be with the dead or the living. We'll be caught up together to be with the Lord. Some would say, well, Pastor, the Bible says absent from the body, present with the Lord. When we die, don't we go to be with the Lord? Sure, we sure do. But our body goes into the ground. But when Jesus died, he didn't die just for our spirits. He died for the whole person. And the Bible says that those graves one day will open up. Our graves will open up. And we'll be with the Lord. I don't wear this coat very often, but this morning I came over to church and I said, I got something in my pocket, a little memorial card of my dad. It's been a couple of years now, but one day I'll see him again. Amen. He's with the Lord. He's also in the ground, but one day his grave will open. Joseph was ready for both, and Joseph made a decision to care for the body of Jesus. He bought a linen cloth. Linen was an organic material that was made from the flax plant. Of course, you know, right, where the best flax plants are? Northern Africa, right? Bolin Branch. Is that name familiar to any of you? They advertise on the radio and TV, I think, on the internet. Very expensive sheets. I'm not telling you to go out and buy their sheets. You know, we need to give money to the church. You know, use all your tithe money to go out and buy linen sheets. That wouldn't be good. very expensive. And I just assumed that it was probably very expensive for Joseph to go out and buy a linen sheet to wrap the body of Jesus. It would have been an investment, even for a wealthy man like Joseph. They say you wash it, it actually gets softer. Physically, Joseph took him down. Some of the old pictures, the old paintings, show Jesus on the cross and Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, taking his body off of the cross. You can look them up on the internet. Beautiful old paintings. I imagine Jesus' body wasn't light. It must have been difficult to move his body. Their emotions must have been raw as they removed the nails from his hands and his feet. They bathed his body. They anointed his body. Joseph wrapped him in that linen cloth that he had brought. Perhaps that cloth was for his own burial. But he was willing to give this gift to Jesus. And then Joseph rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. The last verse takes us back to the women again. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were watching to see where Jesus was laid. Their devotion again to the Lord at his death. Application. The questions that we could ask. How can I follow Jesus? How can I best follow him with my time? Physically, how can I follow Jesus? How can I serve him? How can I best serve the Lord? How can I support Jesus as these women supported Jesus who watched him die? How can I honor Jesus as he was honored by Joseph of Arimathea? I can't literally walk with Jesus as those women walked with him. I can't take his body off of the cross, wrap it in linen, and bury it in a tomb. But there are still ways that I can follow, ways that I can serve, and ways that I can honor the Lord. And that we'll seek to do as we come and sing together. I was in his mind before the worlds were made. I was in his mind when Calvary's hill he climbed, because he climbed that hill for me. I was in his mind, and as I watch, I think, and soon he'll come for me. We're in his mind today. Scandal of Grace. What a great worship song. As we think of the scandal it was that the Son of God, what must the angels have thought as they watched the Son of God being crucified? I can just imagine it. Is it time now to go and rescue him, Father? No. He has to die for the salvation of mankind. And honor him. Let there be praise. Let there be joy. Thank you. thank you that we can praise you because of this relationship that we have, because Jesus went to the cross. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made of your body and your blood, that we might have this eternal life. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives, into our week, as we seek to follow, serve, support, and honor Jesus. We pray that you would give us the power by your presence in our lives to do these things. We pray in Jesus' name.